ladies and gentlemen, friends and open-minded people, wherever you live across the United States of America, Europe, and the world. This is David Duke. I need to tell you something, folks. I know the danger that we are in right now, all of us in this world right now, especially in the United States of America, Canada, Europe, Eastern Europe, Russia, China, and elsewhere around the world, because there is a clear and present danger of nuclear war. I talked about this yesterday. I'm going to speak about it for a few moments before I get to my main subject today, which is the Dan Bilzerian interview with Piers Morgan and the refutation today of the lies that Piers Morgan said about Bilzerian's assertions that the greatest threat in the world today is Jewish supremacy. And another one that's so critically important today in this world of Zionist fog and a Jewish media. I mean, Jewish media is not some sort of a canard. It's not some sort of a strange ideology, conspiracy theory. The most powerful media force in the world right now is Google, because it affects the mind. You're carrying around Google phones, for the most part, Android, or even if you're carrying around, say, Apple phones or whatever, you're really carrying down the internet, which has incredible Jewish power in it. The backbones of the internet, the spines of the internet. And Wikipedia is like the universal, not only the dictionary, but the universal encyclopedia. It's seen more times in one day by people of the world, more than all the encyclopedias that's ever been read in the history of the world. Together, totaled, you got more of that in one day than you do in all the encyclopedias that have been published. I remember when I was a kid, we actually had a copy of the World Book Encyclopedia. We also had a copy of Encyclopedia Britannica. Back then, it was very expensive, too, to have those. And my parents were very educated people, and my father wanted me to have this reference when I was a very young man, and I appreciate that reference. And I found a lot of things in that Encyclopedia Britannica. It was a 1956 edition, by the way. We had it a few years later than 1956. But in the 56 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, there were so many interesting things that I found later on when I became aware of the Jewish issue and the Jewish problem that really shocked me to the core. When thing that was really interesting is the man who was commissioned by Britannica to write the History of the Jews article, because that's what Britannica does. It's not like their own staff does these articles. They rely on people outside of Britannica, authorities. So they let a Jewish person, very dedicated to the Jewish people, write the History of the Jews. And when I was looking and learning actually, about the overwhelming Jewish role in the slave trade. When I was looking into that, I also remembered that I read the entire article very closely after I learned about Jewish power. I read the article on the Jews in the Encyclopedia Britannica very closely. And it was written by Jacob Marcus, who was one of the leading, in fact, he is the leading, or was the leading historical our historian of the Jewish community in the United States of America. I don't even know if he's still alive, but I know he's been around a long time. And he and the American Jewish Publication Societies, and there's lots of them, the Jews are very meticulous in keeping their histories. And I started, when I read a book by a man named Walter White, interesting name, and he wrote a book called Who Brought the Slaves to America? And this book said some really shocking things. It said that the Triangular slave trade that existed between the United States, the Caribbean islands, from the sugar and the molasses, which was made into rum and so forth, and then the trade to Africa with, for African trade slaves, and then coming back to United States, Caribbean, South America, that it was completely dominated by Jews. And boy, that was kind of shocking to me. Because, of course, Jews were a tiny sliver of population in the United States of America. And one of the first things I learned about that was the fact that some of the oldest synagogues in America were in Newport, Connecticut, I think it was, and Providence, Rhode Island, some of the oldest synagogues. And then I read Jewish Publication Society's books, a whole number of them, five or six. In fact, I publicized this. And this is way back in my Klan days, quote, unquote, Klan. It's so important you understand, folks, that I'm not in the Klan. I disassociated myself from the Klan years ago. And I condemn any Klan organization or any other organization that in any way commits violence, even more so than that, that would promote any sort of hatred or violence or anything like that against minorities. I have not been, and I don't consider myself, and I've never in my life ever called myself a supremacist. And most of the people that I know who were white activists called themselves supremacists. What we really asked for was equal rights for all, and we saw affirmative action record proves it quite clearly, because I served in the House of Representatives of Louisiana. I had a bill that outlawed racial discrimination against any better qualified person on the basis of his or her race. That it demanded that people do not allow that in any discriminatory policy that discriminates against better qualified people on the basis of you know, a race, that uses race rather than merit as the criteria, that can't be allowed. I mean, blacks are citizens, whites are citizens, pay taxes, no institution, no. Any sort of institution should be able to discriminate against a better qualified black person or any other person other than a white person for a position or an entrance to a university or an entrance to a union or a job or whatever. Should never allow to be do that. Never allowed to have that happen as long as they're getting money from the taxpayers. And I had a bill, and that passed my body. I know it was called a racist bill because it outlawed any programs of racial discrimination, including affirmative action. And affirmative action is, by its nature, anti-European American. It's discriminating against the people on the basis of their race, regardless of their merit. It's saying that less qualified minorities can be given preference over better qualified white people, even though the minority may be the kids of Jesse Jackson and have a lot of money and position, and some white guy may come from a broken family, may have everything going against them, and yet he's facing discrimination, even though he's doing better in school, he's doing better on his qualification exams for university than the other. I say if it's morally wrong to discriminate against a black person in those areas, and I say it is, then it's just as morally wrong, in my opinion, to discriminate against a white person. If you call that racism, so be it. I don't call that racism. I say that's the best of anti-racism. And racism is not simply a people who want to preserve their own people, their own nation, their own society, their own traditions, their own culture, and have a government in its own interest. The Declaration of Independence doesn't really talk much about race, but it does say that every government has a right to be determined by its people. And every people have a right to have a government that acts in their own interests. Absolutely. And I do believe that very much. I also believe that countries have the right to preserve their heritage. And they've always done so through things like borders, border controls, immigration controls. It's always existed. We've always had frontiers between nations, sometimes lax, sometimes strict, but they've always gone on. It doesn't make one a racist for them or that person or any that individual or that society to want to preserve its heritage. It doesn't make them racist because they simply want to say they want to continue the demographic of the country as it was. For most of the 20th century, America was a 90%, almost all the 20th century, not all the 20th century, but from the beginning, the time that I got out of school, even later than that, was almost 90% European American. But there has been a purposeful program to ethnically cleanse, ethnically replace, ethnically diminish, and lessen the white majority in America. There's been a purposeful program to do it, and I've got documented that in my books and documented that in lots of articles. Go to davidduke.com and just look up immigration, look up immigration policies, look up demographics of America, and you'll find article after article after article where I talk about the proof of that, including Jewish organizations, powerful organizations like the ADL and those associated with the ADL, Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which parades itself as a human rights organization, that tried to fire Tucker Carlson because Tucker Carlson was opposing the demographic change of America, destruction of America. And they said, that's terrible. That's racism. However, Tucker responded to them by showing pages out of the ADL in which they said that Israel's got to maintain its ethnic majority and increase its ethnic majority in that particular, in that country. Yes, that's true, folks. And boy, they backed off to a degree, let me tell you. But then later they got them fired. They said they were going to have them fired just like they said they were going to get me removed from Twitter, and they did. So I was involved in the Klan group, a nonviolent one. And they never had a single member that ever committed a violent act. But I left the Klan because I wasn't going to be associated with people that could call themselves legally a Klan or KKK or some derivative of those names, because there's no copyright on that. Anybody can stand up and declare themselves, you know, the Imperial Wizard or the Grand Wizard or the head of any Klan that they want to make up. And then they can say outrageous things or hateful things or even violent things. So I decided that I was going to disassociate myself from that. And at the same time, oh, I always did condemn any violence. In fact, in my Klan, our oath was you could not commit a violent act. As long as this is the same oath that you swore at the allegiance to the Christian faith, and it was a Christian organization, and to the United States Constitution, you also swore not to commit a violent act or any sort of harmful act against minorities, believe it or not. But I left the group because I wasn't going to be tainted by the ideology. And there were so many things I wanted to express. And what I express here on this show is human rights. This is human rights radio. Human rights radio. I don't even have to call myself a white nationalist. I don't have to even do that, because I think the fundamental rights of any people, human rights, are the right inherently include the rights of people to preserve their heritage, in their own nations and live in a society that represents those values with the vast majority. Now, this is true for Turks in Turkey. Turkey's overwhelmingly Turkish. They're run by Turks. They have Turkish heritage, language, all those things that establish the identity of their country. They have a right to do that. And the desire to do that among people exists all over the world. It exists certainly among the Palestinian people. Jews are complained about on this program and opposed. Jewish power is immense and ubiquitous in our society because they're the greatest hypocrites in the whole world. They speak like the ADL supposes itself to be for human rights, but they support the state of Israel, which is a Jewish supremacist state. It's a Jewish genocidal state. It's not, by the way, an apartheid state. Apartheid, by definition, if you actually look at South Africa, Verwoerd, apartheid was the idea that they were working toward having the African homelands in South Africa and those big regions have independence and self-rule with no whites over them. At the same time, the whites were trying to help them with universities, hospitals, economic health, all the things that Africans needed. But they could run their society and the whites could have their society. And that's separate but equal. In fact, our apartheid was a separation where you had black states. Apartheid, if you really think about it, is like a two-state solution. The interesting thing about the two-state solution is that never was it on the table in any of the countries or any of the issues that Europeans, the European people that in those societies had the right to also have their state. But there is an idea that there should be a state, a Jewish state, and there should be a Palestinian state. So it's hypocritical for anyone to say, and I have been supporting the Palestinians before I was fully coming of an age, a majority, before I was 18 years old, but before I was 15 years old, I was already writing stuff and supporting Palestinian rights because I believe the rights of Palestinian people not to be displaced in their own land, not to have a government of tyranny over them, not to be murdered, not to be replaced, that they have those fundamental rights. Just as I wanted those same rights for our people when I began to realize that our government had been invaded. There was a migration into Palestine, which took away the Palestinian rights eventually. That's why the Palestinians opposed massive migration of a foreign people into their land that would change the demographic. And even during this time, the Zionists were so doggone racist, it's incredible to think about. And even more functional is that the Zionists, they certainly weren't all religious. In fact, many of them weren't. Ben-Gurion was an atheist. But at the same time, he literally supported the Jewish religion, having control over things like migration and marriage because he wanted the policies of big families and Jewish reproduction and Jewish migration and Jewish only marriage to each other to be the prominent thing. So he supported the religion of Judaism. Now this opens up a whole can of worms. Because we often get a lot of misdirection in this country, in this world, that somehow that Zionism and Judaism are very distinct things. And Judaism is universalistic and kind and brotherly, like, you know, bless thou shalt not kill thy neighbor or steal from thy neighbor or whatever. But the caveat was that when those things were written, they define neighbor not as everybody in the world, but only as Jews. In other words, it was okay to kill a non-Jew. it was okay to steal from them. It was okay to take their land. It was okay to enslave a non-Jew, but not a Jew. And that was a unique form of supremacism. And Judaism itself is supremacist. Now, I was very impressed by seeing a fellow by the name of Dan Bilzerian. He was, I think, was on Ben David Patrick's show, and I believe that's his name. I don't follow that very much, you know, on YouTube. And it's an interesting talk show. And he started talking about, you know, Jewish racism, Jewish supremacism, and supremacy. Jewish supremacism now is used by almost all civil rights workers about Israel today. It wasn't so 10 years ago, 15 years ago. In 2008, when I published Jewish supremacism, very few people used the term Jewish supremacism. They called it apartheid state, or they might say there's racism in Israel, but they didn't use that word. And I realized years ago that that was a very accurate word. I used the word long before that. I used the word Jewish supremacism in my book, My Awakening, which was my opus, back even in 1998 when I first finished it, and also in many articles beforehand. But I have a cover, you know, of my book, Jewish Supremacism. And it talks about Jewish supremacism, which is not simply about supremacism and the effects of it, like mass murder and genocide in Israel and horrible wars of Israel, but it's really about supremacy in the world. And even though when we look at the Old Testament, the Torah, we have to be careful how we read these things, because according to my Christian theology and Christian beliefs, that, you know, we revere the Old Testament too, the Torah, the first five books, especially. But Jews still do the Torah. But Jews have something else called an oral tradition. And where Christian Zionists are completely off the rails and insane is that it's like they didn't read a word of what defines them as Christians. What defines a Christian is somebody who believes in Christ, who represents the same teachings of Christ, the values of Jesus Christ, and the new covenant. That's what it's called. The new covenant that Christ gave to the world. And that covenant was a fulfillment of the old covenant, in a sense. Because the idea that Christians had and understood, and I think even Christ himself understood, that for a while, Jews were enshrined with being the people that were giving the word of the revelations of God. Now, when that covenant was made, and that's what you always hear in Deuteronomy, it says, that God will, you know, bless those who bless you and blah, 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 and that they will, you know, be a people above other people. It was to promote the ideas of this monotheistic religious God and religion that was good for the world. But what people forget about when they read about this promise that I'll stand by you to the nth generation, it was always a conditional covenant. In fact, it says in Deuteronomy that as long as you obey the laws of God, the will of God, the values of God, I will stand by you. But if you don't do that, I will requite you and requite you instantly. In other words, I will reject you. And when the Jewish establishment rejected Jesus Christ, crucified Jesus Christ, and persecuted, and it's all the way through the old, you know, the New Testament, persecuted Christians, killed Christians, murdered Christians, drove out Christians from their homes, often from their lands, tortured them, imprisoned them, harmed them, hurt them, reviled them. Judaism became the biggest enemy of Christianity, period. And Jesus Christ. And Judaism itself, in its Talmud, has the most vile things you could imagine about Christians and about the Christian person of God, the Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. So those are the things that I wanted to talk about. And so the idea, the fact is, if some Christian Zionist is pretty confused. He's like, Christ didn't come. When Christ came, he said, I don't care about the temple. I could destroy the temple in an instant. My body is the temple. In fact, to say or support the building of the third temple in Jerusalem is the biggest blasphemy, because Christ said, you don't need any temple to make sacrifices anymore. I made the sacrifice for you. There are no more sacrifices needed. He also specifically went against this Jewish extreme racist and hateful oral tradition that said a Jew couldn't even drink after a Corinthian. Jesus Christ went to Jacob's well and drank after a Corinthian woman, in fact, kind of a fallen woman, living with a man without marriage, Corinthian. And she was a half-breed. And by the way, half-breed is a very slight different breed in the Middle East, because these were people that were all Semitic in other regions. Some were even Assyrian and others. There were lots of different aspects of it. But the differences between them was very, very minimal. It wasn't as big as, say, between the broader races of the world. And Christ went there, and the lady at the well said, you really want to drink after me? Because, my God, you're a Judean, and your people will hate people who drink with us and share things with us. And Jesus Christ said, not only will I drink with you, I would love to drink after you, and I would love to give you the water of life, eternal life. So his message, he said clearly, were for you and the entire world, not just for the Jews. The Jews hated this stuff. It's one of the reasons they hated Jesus Christ, and they hated Samaritans. He went and he stayed with the Samaritans. He praised the Samaritans. It's like, these are the kind of things that we learn about. So let me get into the video, because if I don't do that now, I'm going to be too late here. But I guess it's good to bring a start. Now, this is a reply by an individual called a Muslim skeptic. But he speaks about Jewish anti-Muslim attitudes. The thing you've got to remember here, now he's taking it from a Muslim perspective, but Judaism is just as anti-Christian, more so. In fact, I'd say it's more viciously anti-Christian than anything Muslim. In fact, the Muslim faith, believe it or not, you're not taught this, but the Muslim faith believes that Jesus was the greatest prophet. Yes, that Jesus' message and Jesus' teachings are so important to the world. They actually, the Muslims in the Quran and beyond that, actually defend Jesus Christ from the attacks and the calumny of the Jews, and they defend his mother from the things they said about him, because they alleged that he was, an illegitimate, I'm not going to use the words that they use for him. And they hate Jesus Christ so much that in the Jewish Talmud, they actually bring Jesus Christ back to earth, and they do this by some sort of black magic. Imagine Jewish magicians or whatever, supposedly raising Christ from the dead. And you know why they raised Jesus Christ from the dead? They raised him from the dead so that he didn't do it himself. You know, he didn't come back on his own resurrection according to the Jews. They raised him up back to life and kept him alive, or supposedly keeping him alive for them forever so they could torture him. Somehow these Jewish evil magicians can keep this kind teacher, Jesus Christ, teacher of love and decency and brotherhood and kindness and forgiveness, so they could burn him in human excrement forever. Now, this is in Peter Schaeffer's book, and everything I say I can document, and that's Jesus in the Talmud. It's also got forewords by leading Jewish scholars in the beginning that all acknowledge this. Imagine this kind of hatred. And when Jews, if you go into any bookstore, even the people that are always criticizing Islam, like Harris, Sam Harris, and these others, you think they don't criticize Christianity? They do it all the time. Shapiro criticizes Christianity. On Joe Rogan, Shapiro said, the truth is that Jesus was just kind of like a common criminal with the Romans, and he got crucified. You can't make up these things, folks. And the reason they really hated Jesus is quite clear, because he said, my teachings are for everyone. My salvation's for everyone. And Jewish supremacy didn't want to hear that. Now, that's the core of Judaism. It's all about genealogy. It's always been about genealogy. And they've even evolved in this point so radically that they really, a lot of these Jewish, even religious Jews, a lot of them are atheists now, openly atheists, yet they're rabbis. And they're openly atheists, and they believe that Jews itself are the tissue of God. So Jews are God. They also teach very much that human beings, the only real human beings, are the only people you can qualify as man. That's before we were concerned about using the term man or men or mankind as misogyny. They said the only people that could be men are Jews. But the rest of humanity, 99.8% of humanity, 99.8%, one-fifth of 1% of humanity are Jews. All of the rest of us, that's you, your children, that you're just, you're not human beings. You're not mankind. You're not men. And the New Testament talks about this Jewish hatred of mankind, as it is in Corinthians and Thessalonians. It says, the Jews killed the prophets and crucified our Savior, Jesus Christ, and oppose all mankind, and drove us out, and keep us from teaching to the Gentiles, so they may be saved. Boy, well, that's the truth. Who do you think's behind the censorship in Google? Who's behind the censorship that ADL promotes? And the biggest note, and the reason why I still can't get on Twitter, is because I talk about this issue, and Bazarian is going to have a problem too. He's got a big following that give him. That may give him some insulation, but it's great what he's been doing recently. So let me start playing this thing about the appearance of Bilzerian on none other than Piers Morgan.
Harris, know about the extreme oppression that Muslims have suffered, the literal mass slaughter of Muslims just in the past decades with the war on terror, where 5 million Muslims have been killed, according to Brown University, and 38 million Muslims have been violently displaced. And it's been Jewish warmongers like Sam Harris, Bill Maher, and Christopher Hitchens that have cheerleaded for these wars, and they've been at the forefront of demonizing Muslims, dehumanizing Muslims, to drum up support, popular support in the West, for these wars in the Middle East. But Sam Harris, Bill Maher, and Christopher Hitchens face absolutely no accountability for the critical role that they played in this mass slaughter of Muslims. All their videos are still on social media. They've racked up millions of views. They've earned millions of dollars, and they're just enjoying life. But the point is, if criticizing Islam and Muslims is fair game and shouldn't be called hate, then criticizing Judaism and the behavior of Jews should also be considered fair game and should not be denounced as anti-Semitism. But this is exactly what Dan Bilzerian has done.
Well, when you have a religion that promotes supremacy, when you have a religion...
Okay, let's start with that. A religion that promotes supremacy. In the Hebrew Bible, in Deuteronomy, we read, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So this is very clearly supremacist. Bava Metzia 114b in the Talmud says, "Jewish people are called men, but Gentiles are not called men." So this is a racial distinction in the Jerusalem.
So let's talk about this for a moment. Now remember the Deuteronomy promises to Jews was a conditional covenant. And it says specifically there that as long as you keep my commandments, you keep my word, you serve me, and do not do evil things, that I will continue to support you and protect you. But Deuteronomy, in the very ending of this passage, is very clear. But if you go against my word, if you go against my will, if you go against my laws, I will requite you and requite you instantly. So the idea, this was a temporary, this was a covenant that existed for a while. It was hopefully going to be long lasting, but that if they went against God, that they would be requited. And remember, Jews and the Jewish establishment, the Sanhedrin, the ultimate determinant of the Jewish people at the time, actually sentenced Jesus Christ to death, but they couldn't give him death under the Roman leadership there. So they had to manipulate the Romans into doing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And there's these fascinating programs. Now, this doesn't mean, in my opinion, that all Jews are guilty of deicide just because it says in the Bible, his blood be on us and our children. But they were pretty vicious, these Jews. But there's no question that Judaism is an institution was extremely and viciously anti-Christ and anti-Christian, and it still is. And it's not just Muslims that have suffered. I believe the First World War, where 37 million died, in part had a great influence of Jews behind that war, because Jews around the world were organized like no other people behind Marxism. Communism was a Jewish movement. And they knew that the Germans had certain better abilities to defeat the Russians and the Christian and Christian Russia, and the Christians are. And so they wanted a war because they knew that if the Russians were defeated by Germans, that they could overthrow the Russian government easily. And this is historic and true. They also knew that the way that lined up was with the Axis countries, Germany and so forth, after that would happen, after the Russians were defeated, right, that if the Allies were fighting the Turkish Empire, that they could maybe infect or reuse, and the Rothschilds did this, it's all open, to create the Balfour Declaration. And they made a deal with the British government to get America into the war and so forth. And they knew, too, that a war would maybe open the chance for the British to take control of part of the Ottoman Empire in the Middle East and then allow the Balfour Declaration to take place. I mean, they're long-term thinkers. That doesn't make them brilliant, but it does make them dedicated to their issues. Then the Second World War, by the way, came about. And I think that war was an unnecessary war, as many, many historians have said, as well as the First World War. Unnecessary war. It could have been solved by diplomacy. Long before the Second World War had actually begun, before America even got into it, you had a book called Germany Must Perish by Theodore Kaufmann, published in the United States and Europe. And this book proposed, literally, Germany Must Perish, a total plan for the destruction of the German nation and the eradication from the earth of all the German people. Really? Germans are 80 million people. It actually promoted genocide of the German people. And the war itself was a genocide. The fact that European Christians were slaughtering each other was one of the greatest tragedies in all history. And we've seen a repetition of these kinds of wars since. In the war against the Syrians. The Syrians, it was not in America's interest to be against Syria. They didn't want to be an enemy of America. But Syria was standing in the way of Jewish Zionist hegemony. They got us into the Iraq war against the Jewish enemy Saddam, where they used our blood, our treasure. And that war cost $8 trillion, according to the Brown University study, the academic studies that have been done by a whole bunch of scholars. $8 trillion it cost America. Wow. That's a lot even more than the AIPAC or the millions going to Ukraine. And now you have the Ukraine war. And as Jeffrey Sachs, the Jewish scholar, shows, Jeffrey Sachs, that the same neocons that gave us the Iraq war based on lies that Trump talked against, by the way, in his first campaigns and in his debates, that these wars were, you know, were a dangerous and damaging thing to the United States. Obviously, that's true. But we paid the bill. We paid the price. Let's continue here.
Talmud, Kiddushin 4:11, we read, kill the best of Gentiles, smash the head of the best of snakes. This is not just religious text. You also see the top rabbis in the world, like Israel's chief rabbi, calling African Americans monkeys. This is supremacism. You have Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, one of the foremost and most influential rabbis of the 20th century, also teaching this kind of supremacy in his writings. Schneerson said that the difference between a Jewish person and a non-Jewish person is like the difference between two different species. The body of a Jewish person is of a totally different quality from the body of members of all nations of the world. The difference of the inner quality between Jews and non-Jews, however, are so great that the bodies should be considered as completely different species. Two contrary types of soul exist. A non-Jewish soul comes from three satanic spheres, while the Jewish soul stems from holiness. Furthermore, a Jew was not created as a means for some other purpose. He himself is the purpose, since the substance of all divine emanations was created only to serve the Jews. So the whole purpose of why God created the universe is to serve Jews. The important things are the Jews because they do not exist for any other aim. They themselves are the divine aim. So this is one of the most extreme teachings of supremacism that you can imagine. Now, you might think that these are just fringe views of some rabbis, but these kinds of supremacist views are expressed by Israeli Jews in particular. According to Pew Research, 79% of Jews in Israel believe that Jews should be given preferential treatment over non-Jews. That's clear supremacism.
Now, what he's talking about here is all true. There's really no argument about it. And he talked about Schneerson. Schneerson, who was given a Congressional Medal of Honor, basically said all Gentiles had satanic souls. So he was saying to all those congressmen and senators who voted for this honor, the highest American honor to be given to this alien, weird, racist rabbi, the great Rebbe Schneerson, when he did this, they were saying that, okay, that every these congressmen and their fathers and their children and their brothers and sisters and their wives, their own children, have satanic souls. You can't get more radical than that. I mean, that's about the worst thing you can say to somebody. You're born with a satanic soul. Man, how do you escape that? I mean, you can't even make it up. When you have racism in a religious sense, or supposedly in a religious sense, it's the most powerful. If God tells you that everybody else is simply animals, that is unbelievably powerful, especially for the believers of that. This is the heart of evil, folks. This is not any good thing. And this is from the very heart of the Jewish religion. Now, when he talked about Rabbi Schneerson earlier, isn't chief rabbi of Israel, By the way, when the chief rabbis of the world, the most respected rabbis in the world, this was Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, and his son, by the way, are Yosefs as well. Israel chief calls African Americans monkey. Not only do you call African Americans monkeys, he also referred to all Gentiles as nothing more than donkeys, which only purpose was to serve Jewish masters. That Gentiles were made to dig and bind and sig and so. And he spoke to the whole country. He's on videotape saying all these things, folks. This is the chief Sephardic rabbi saying the only purpose of you and your children is to serve Jews. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, folks.
Religion that says that you are better than other people, and when you have a religion that says it's okay to steal from other people as long as they're not Jewish, when you...
How about that claim? Is that based on anything? The Talmud says with regard to robbery, the term permitted is relevant as it is permitted for a Jew to rob a Gentile, Sanhedrin 57a. And then in another important Jewish text, it says a Jew who kills an idolater is exempt. Theft, how so? One who stole or robbed or took a female war captive and so on. An idolater who did so to an idolater who did so to a Jew is prohibited. But a Jew who did so to an idolater, it is permitted. So several Jewish texts advocate that it's permissible for Jews to steal from non-Jews. It's also permissible, according to the Talmud, for Jews to withhold wages from non-Jewish employees. It is permissible for Jews not to pay back non-Jews for loans. And it's permissible, according to the Talmud, to mistreat non-Jews in a court of law to unfairly bias Jews. And it is permissible for Jews not to pay back non-Jews for loans, and it's permissible, according to the Talmud, to mistreat non-Jews in a court of law to unfairly bias Jews. And again, we see this reflected in the behavior of Israeli Jews who are actively involved in stealing Palestinian land through illegal settlements that have been condemned by the UN for decades. The International Court of Justice has condemned this as clear theft. And there have been so many viral videos showing Jewish settlers literally taking over the homes of Palestinians and kicking the Palestinians out of those homes in the most violent and degrading, dehumanizing.
I have videos on my Odyssey channel. That's at Real David Duke. You should go watch them. Of Jews dispossessing Palestinian Christians, driving them out of their homes. Christians driving them out. So this is our land. Get off of it. And that's what's another irony of this insanity of Zionist, incredible. What do they call it? Christian Zionism? That's like the total oxymoron. I tell you one thing. Jesus would support his followers. I don't think Jesus would support his followers being robbed, hurt, raped, killed, or whatever, or maimed, or murdered. And many Palestinians have been murdered. Look at the people shot down at the Christian church, one of the oldest Christian churches in the world, in Gaza, during this recent problems.
Ways. You have a religion that says it's okay to rape people that aren't Jewish, when you have a religion that talks about having sex with, you know, kids that are under 3 years old.
Okay, wait, let's see. Is this accurate? Does Judaism have any teachings like that? We read in the Mishnah Torah that if a Jew engages in intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, then the non-Jewish woman has to be executed. Now, the Mishnah Torah is one of the most authoritative legal texts of Judaism written by Maimonides, who's considered to be the greatest legal scholar of Jewish law. He says that the non-Jewish woman should be executed because this is like bestiality, even if the non-Jewish woman is as young as 3 years old. We see this behavior in Israel today, where the Israeli Jews are attacking Palestinians and dehumanizing them through sexual violence. The chief rabbi of the IDF has also said that it's permissible to rape non-Jews in war. And just a couple of months ago, there was a huge controversy in Israel where Israelis were protesting for the right to rape Palestinian prisoners. others. In other Jewish texts, we see this idea of sex with children as young as three. For example, Rashi, which is one of the most authoritative commentaries on the Torah, mentions that Rebecca was born and Isaac waited until she was fit for marriage, which was 3 years old. Overall, Jewish law considers it to be permissible to have a three-year-old bride, and this is endorsed directly in the Talmud, such as Nida 44b. A girl who is 3 years and 1 day old, whose father arranged her betrothal, is betrothed through intercourse. We see the same exact idea reiterated on other parts of the Talmud.
When you have a religion that promotes these things and promotes supremacy, I think you're going to have problems. And you see that in Israel. Israel is a manifestation of that religion. And I think that religion is, you know, it's terrible. I don't believe in white supremacy. I don't believe in Jewish supremacy. I don't believe in supremacy at all. And right now, I think you have massive Jewish supremacy.
So again, what about this?
So God bless Dan Bilzerian. He's telling the truth. And the truth is that Judaism, its very heart and soul and core, is supremacist, murderous, genocidal. Truly. And Judaism itself is the most anti-Christian ideology the world's ever seen. And it's not just the Muslims that face their ire. No, actually, if you look at the body of Christian literature about Jews and about the persecutions of Christians by them, and if you read the New Testament, even the famous Jerusalem Post has an article called "Is the New Testament Anti-Semitic?" And the answer is yes. It was written by Mr. Botich, the same Jew that's been advocating the genocide in Gaza, and who, by the way, runs a dildo and porn shop with his, this is a rabbi, and his daughter. You can't make these things up, folks. And Judaism is fundamentally not a universal religion. I know that some people want to say it is, and it's not this. No, it is this. The Talmud is the core of Jewish law, halakha. And every quotation this man said and quoted in his video was correct. I'm out of time. I love y'all. And we've really got to give a thanks to Dan Bilzerian. Go to davidduke.com. Go to my Gab at Real David Duke and go to my Odyssey at Real David Duke. Look at my original videos and look at my videos on Judaism. And also look at my videos on Christian Zionism and how Christian Zionism is the biggest heresy and anti-Christian ideology the world has ever seen. I love you. Again, I look forward to hearing from you. Go to davidduke.com. And please check out my old videos and look at the sources for what we're talking about here. Bye-bye now. See you tomorrow.